I know, and I, the rural Indians seem to be really, really, their interests are really with who they meet, you know, because they don't meet with people every single day and mingle with people.
Mm-hmm.
While you find urban people less interested or more, I think,
yeah,
going towards their own goal and their own interests, not
their
caring about
other
people.
Their means of attacking the problem is entirely different, too.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess what I was thinking of, too, you know, just now was, is it Colville Reservation up in Washington State that they're terminating, or, and they said that the people who are live on the Colville Reservation do not want to terminate, but the people that live in the city that claim a fourth or whatever Colville tribe, are they outnumber them. Even, well, they don't outnumber them, but they have more power and more money, more education, more everything, and like they're really forcing their own tribal members who are reservation Indians to terminate.
Is that the one where they have option for termination?
I it must be. I'm
we're
not
talking
sure.
About this. Uh-huh. Either you terminate or you don't. You can remain an Indian, or you can.
Oh, that is
not. You marry if you marry a Colville Indian, and she's terminated. Is she still an Indian? See.
Yeah, that's what happened in San Diego. The San Diego Indians.
Biologically, you are, but it depends on what you think, I guess, or what you want to be.
Well, this is legal. I mean, see, like the tribe had the option to terminate or not. Each individual did, like, I terminated and you didn't.
You mean for a piece of land I had, or just money?
Yeah, like if I terminate, that means I'll get money in, or whatever, and you decide to stay there, but you have to live there, and you don't terminate, and you still get all the rights and benefits. But since I terminate, it's just like just cutting yourself off
you become
a regular citizen of the United States. You aren't an Indian anymore, legally. See?
With all the rights that Indians have under the trust status of government.
And that's why we thought it was funny, because if someone was really a biological Indian, but they really aren't an Indian legally, so...
A nominal.
Yeah. So if they got married to an Indian, they...
Well, anyway, it's...
I think it's... It's just like a white man marrying a...
Yeah.
Filipino.
Indian girl?
No.
Let's just say a white man's marrying an Indian girl. Does that mean he benefits these? I mean, does he get these benefits and all the gas?
If the kids are enrolled under that tribe, if you married an Anglo and you had your kids enrolled under the Navajo tribe, your kids would still be entitled to Navajo. All this stuff, trusteeship that they get under the government, like medical services and all these, all these things, education benefits, what little there is.
Uh-huh.
Even job-wise on the Navajo reservation, even job-wise on a reservation, on a Navajo reservation, if somebody marries a white person, the white person has same rights job-wise with the Navajo tribe.
Yeah, because he's married to.
And sometimes they take into account how much how much Indian you are as far as, if you're 1/4, I think, and up, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're really belong there and everything.
I think mostly they base it now on the census number. The Navajo tribe does.
Right, that's what I say.
I know the Navajo tribe census number was 1/4, but are they making it 1/2 to get enrolled? That's what I heard. You know, like to get enrolled to the Navajo tribe, you could be 1/4, but now they're saying you have to be 1/2.
Really?
That's what I heard.
See,
you know what that means? Navajos are marrying outside? Oh, and they only want the...
Okay,
a
Navajo can marry a non-Indian and still be on the rolls, but once a half-Indian marries a white, then they'll only be 1/4, so they'll no longer be entitled under what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. But if the Indian marries another Indian...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings in more Indian blood. See, but
obviously.
We have to bring some color people into our.
Well, the Navajo tribe has to make their rules about the tribal enrollment.
I didn't know that was 1/2.
I don't know.
What? See, she didn't know. It is.
Is it true?
Yeah, I think
it can be.
I guess you're not an Navajo anymore.
No, I am.
I'm not.
Oh.
Have some more wine.
How do you guys feel that an American Indian Studies program will, I mean, all these things we're talking about, when you talk about termination, acculturation, you know, Indian power, but maybe it can't be said in simple words that, you know, American Indian Studies is going to do this for us, you know. Would you think it in that terms, or is it more of an academic, or is it fitting into the other society? Or
you know, I'm beginning to wonder about this because, mm-hmm. Like Ron was telling me, he was asking me about Dr. Remley's course mm-hmm. in the American Indian Literature. What is there really in American Indian Literature concerning the Indians? Because traditionally, Indians have had a vocal history. It's not mm-hmm. written. See, so what is there really to American Indian Literature? Because I'm sure most of our grandfathers and grandparents have and great-grandparents have passed things along, you know, by telling stories or just talking, and it's not been written down. Like the Navajo language, it wasn't written before the white man probably started trying messing with it.
Were you were there for that NCAI, mm-hmm. that guy from Michigan, or the guy from Minnesota? He mm-hmm. said that in their Indian studies program, the basic main their biggest contributor towards their American study program is the we brought in some medicine that he told us ourselves, you know, that was what they were stressing.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we should
maybe that's
here.
What we
that's what I think
that's
too
what we
because
need to do.
You say American Indian Literature and the way the educational system is structured, like it's a whole new thing. Because they have to have everything written down, and if a book isn't published or it doesn't reach a prize or something, then it isn't qualified. And this is with an argument we were trying to get in with administration, is we wanted to bring in people to get a faculty salary that have no education, say, you know, like people to teach
right.
different languages.
Right.
And this is where history, literature, all these things would come in. And we're going to have to really face them, you know. It's good getting this feeling from it, because I think it's much more valuable that way. Because I think a lot of people find it, I don't know, you just can't
see. And then
put it in that
ours
that
is
framework.
Ours is a program it's something you can't develop overnight. I think the blacks and Chicanos are trying to do that now. It's something they're working too fast.
Well, I think they're more.
Well, they're too
quite
oriented in their program now as it is. Well, I know some of their programs are relevant to their groups.
Mm-hmm. But see, like this thing we're talking about really pertains to literature, and I think that you know what
yeah.
you said is really valuable, and that's what we should do. But in things like you know legal things are an economic you know outlook on things, it's going to be just a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
Because you can't help the material things that come into the reservation. You can't say, well, this is a Navajo shirt or any, you know, because of the very machine that it gets
yeah.
made from, it isn't. But on a literature type of thing, it's a completely different thing.
You're going to teach a home economics course on how to make fried bread and chili stew, cook beans right.
I don't know, I think, let's see how, yeah, American studies. To me, it sort of reminds you that you are an Indian,
mm-hmm.
and that you do remember them. I don't know, it seems that way, that's the closest thing, you know, it reminds you again and again that you do belong with these people and you are part of these people. I think that's an important thing. And then even though it is written, like you say, like most Indian languages are vocally passed on to generations and stuff. Although it's written, I think in future generations, maybe not in 25 years or 75 years, but in coming generations, I think not that many Indians are going to know Navajo. And they can read about it. But the thing about, well, they might even tape it and say, this is what they used to talk.
I don't know. If you can perpetuate the language, you can. It'll still live on.
Yeah, I think I talked to most of the Indians.
But then you think the kids that are, you know, that are being educated, some kids, I don't know, it depends on how the educational system is set up. If we get into the, let's say we get into the primary level, high school level, if we can teach these people how important our background is, our, you know, the Indian way, we can teach them how important it is to learn the language, and then we can pass it on just by this little way that, so when they're little people, you know, still in grade school and in high school, they can realize, you know, these things are important to me,
mm-hmm.
and they're part of me, therefore I'm going to learn it, I'm not going
to
forget it.
Right.
If we can do that in our educational system at a very elementary level, then they'll remember it and they'll keep on. But other than that, the way it's going on now, because it's all white orientated, most of it, you know, then it'll sort of drop out, you know. But like this rough rock jazz, I think it's really, you know, orientated in this way, and therefore I think all these people now are really gung-ho on wanting to keep traditional ways and the language in. And with schools like this, you know.
And there's several schools that are starting that.
Yeah. If this could happen, I'm sure, you know, we could maintain a Navajo life, Navajo information, anything for a long, long time. Or Indian, you know.
Yeah, I think about 50% of the Navajo students are going here don't know how to speak Navajo. I mean, it's hard to believe, but
yeah,
I would say about, I'm just taking the, you know, this, you know, about 50%, I would say, you know, this is, I couldn't believe it, because I was, you know, Anna, that book you brought in there,
uh-huh.
I, you know, some of those people didn't even know how to pronounce it, didn't know what it was, and I looked at it and said, you're a Navajo, you call yourself, and, you know, it's funny,
you
know.
You know, but the thing about that, it can't be helped.
Yeah, well.
For that reason, it can't be helped for some cases, I mean, no matter what you think, you know, so what, you're this nationality, it just can't be helped. Just like a person calls himself an Irish, he says, my grandparents were Irish, all this, you know. But then it depends on where you went to school and who you were brought up with and all this, you know. If your parents talked English to you all the time and the kids you went to school with talked English all the time, then. But if you went to, let's say you went to a BIA school and they went to talk Navajo or the certain language, you'll definitely, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to give this example
how much
we're losing culture.
Yeah, because it seems like the language is the basic.
Yes,
it is. I think maybe what you're kind of getting at is this is the way I see it. American Indian Studies program might be able to set up something to whereas whatever happens can go on down and hit the rest of the educational structures, high school, junior high, grade school, because that's where it really counts down there. But they're not doing it now, and they aren't going to do it like that. It's going to have to take pressure, and maybe, you know, from this type of program, you know, it will, because everybody's going to look up to somebody that's older, and if they think that way, and if they have the tools to push it.
Yeah. It's just like, the kids coming up into college, and I guess those that are in college see that the American Indian Studies is new, and they're probably wondering about it. And if they wonder enough and curious enough, they'll want to take the course and, you know, want to know about it. And if the instructor is good enough, he'll say, okay, take this home, or somehow, you know, like we have so many different majors, you know, in our, I don't know, how many Indian students for the UNM, about 100. We have so many different majors that, in mathematics, they can't tell you about the literature, but this literature, in a way, sort of, like everyone has an eye on it. Everyone has an eye on it, and maybe will want to know about it. And at least through this one course, they could tell everyone, you know, about it. And so when they go into their field, they could sort of encourage their children or put their children and through
rough up demonstration school.
Yeah, they could put them through, you know, some kind of, or let's say they go into education or something, they could get this idea and sort of, you know.
There's some schools that are beginning to teach the history of
No.
Toyota or Honda? What's that school?
Huh?
Toyota.